Father, we come to the throne of grace and we thank you, Lord, for psalms that are written from the heart to bless people in these days that we're living in today. And Lord, thank you. Thank you so much for the presence of God felt. And I believe every song is led towards the message today. And dear God, as I open this precious book again, without your help, we cannot understand anything. We can study in the secular physical world, and if the Spirit of God is not teaching us, then we're not receiving the spiritual things of God. And now, when we do study with the Spirit teaching, though, we ask for the Spirit to deliver now in this hour. And may from the pulpit to the pew there be something, someone to be blessed and lead from here this day, giving you honor and glory and recognizing just what we have in Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 2. As I read, start reading about verse 6, down a few verses. Let me say as introduction before, as part of the introduction this morning, when we talk about Jesus Christ, we emphasize his death, burial, and his resurrection. We do not use his name for the purpose of naming and claiming it and getting rich in this life. If you got salvation, you are rich. If you had all the money in the world, you couldn't buy salvation if you had all the money in the world. And so most in here, hopefully, are saved. Many of you listening to radio later may not be saved. If you're not saved, I hope enough will be said today to get you to understand that you can be saved. But we need to understand there's more to it than just salvation. I have more this morning than just a delivered from the fire of hell. I have something inside me, and so do you, will help us grow in grace and knowledge. And I thought about a title for this message a few weeks ago, started on it, and it came up with a thought just simply this: Jesus is everything to me. He's everything to me. Somebody said, well, that's your opinion. No, it's not. I believe it's a biblical fact. Now, if you don't believe the Bible, then there's no way I can convince you. You heard me say recently that we heard our president make the statement that with the Jews, you have Moses. With Jesus, you have Christianity. With the Muslims, you have Muhammad. They're not equal. I'm sorry, they're not equal. Jesus Christ is way beyond anyone else that ever lived on this earth. He was God in the flesh. Amen. Now, Paul's writing to the church at Colossae, and he's trying to give some information to them about how they should be growing, and if they are, they'll be rooted and grounded and established in the faith. And watch what he says in verse 6. He says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, that tells me he's talking to the Christian. Only those who receive Jesus Christ the Lord. That makes you a Christian if you've done that. If you have not done that, I don't care what kind of religion avenues you try to take, you're not a Christian. You're a Christian if you receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life. And that's what Paul said. Now, as ye there have therefore received Christ, now he assumed that these he's writing to Colossae have received Christ. And if so, then he said, so walk ye in him. That's a direct positive commandment. Walk ye in him. Then notice in verse 10, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. He says, listen, in this case, realize that many will not have the chance to read the Scriptures, or if they do, don't take the time to read the Scriptures. But he said, you've been in a place where you were taught to these Colossians. In other words, there was a center in the era where they were at, where the church is at, they were being taught the Word of God. He said, in this case, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now, if you've been taught the Scriptures, and you've been taught to believe the Scriptures, and you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, Lord, and Savior, then there's another side. He said, beware. To who? Those who receive Christ as Savior. We are to beware. You can't tell an unsaved person to beware. He doesn't know what to beware about. But God said through Paul to the church at Colossae, now these are some things where what has happened, and now beware of something. What is it? He said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men and the rudiments of the world, and watch this, and not after Christ. Now, it's obvious to me that there's a side in Christ that God is teaching a certain way about life. And there's a side outside of Christ that humanism is teaching another way that omits Christ, but yet puts man in a religious circle, making him think he's all right. And he says to those who receive Christ, beware. Isn't it an interesting thing he'd tell us that? Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not careful, you and I can go the same way with our thinking, even after we're saved, unless we have something to counteract that. If we don't have the power of God living in us by through the Word, you got the Spirit of God, but the Spirit of God uses the Word of God. If we don't have the Word of God living in us to help us counteract what's coming from the secular world, then you will find it's very easy to put the flesh in neutral and just kind of smooth over to what the world's thinking. And Paul said, not for the child of God. Beware, take heed that you don't find yourself in this situation. Man spoiling you through philosophy, vain deceit, which is after the traditions of men. It's after the run-ups of this world. And he says, just in case you don't understand it, it's not after Christ. Now that tells me something, folks. That tells me I need to be alert in this world. I can be very easily convinced of things if not. Now watch in verse 9. For in him, in who? Tell me who it is. Christ. Didn't say Muhammad, didn't say any other. He said in Christ, or in him, referring back to who Jesus Christ is. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, in Christ, everything you would see about God in the flesh, you see in Christ. In Christ dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead body. Verse 10, watch. And he says, and ye are complete in him. If everything, if in Christ dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead, and ye received him, according to what we see in verse 6, then he simply said, ye are complete in him. I don't need nothing else but Jesus Christ. Now I need to grow in grace and knowledge. Getting Christ as Savior don't make automatically grow in grace and knowledge. Getting saved doesn't make me automatically to learn the Christian directions, a lot of things, and what God is saying. I have to get in the book for that, just like I had to get into some type of textbook for my physical growth of this life. I didn't get through the grades of school and college and other ways because I refused to listen to the textbook. And I'll tell you this, you and I are not growing grace and knowledge of the Lord if we refuse to listen to God's textbook. It's God's holy word. And so he's saying here, we are complete in him. He said, which is the head of principalities in power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of all the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein ye also risen, he said, with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you been dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened, he's made you alive together with him, having forgiven you, watch this, all trespasses. Hey, if you're in him, he's the fullness of the Godhead, and you're complete in him, that means all trespasses have been forgiven. And then he goes on and he says simply this. He said, and you've been dead in your sin. All trespasses are forgiven. Watch in verse 14. He blotted out the handwriting of the ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them open and triumphantly over them. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or respect or holy days or the new moon or the Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. I want to speak to you on Jesus is everything and come to verse 9 and 10 to explain that. I read recently where someone said, all I need in life on this earth is some food, I need some sun, I need some work, I need some fun, and I need someone. And I'll tell you, that someone is Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, he was talking about his mate, I'm sure, or who wrote this. It's good to have a mate, but you can have some food and some sun and some work and some fun and someone in the earthly ring and still not have all you need because there's not a fullness in that. But the someone is Jesus Christ. You can mark it down. In him, the fullness of God, and in him, we're complete. That is, there's nothing else to have to be added. Why should I, as a child of God, try to complete something that's already complete? Because it's already complete, you can't complete it. Someone else has to complete it. That's how we're completed. I can't think of another word to put that word in there. like that. A fellow wrote this on his tombstone. I like this. He said that he put it on his tombstone where he was going to be buried. Just had down the day he was born and didn't have his death as yet. And it had it read like this. He said, "Don't fret," as you stood and look at it. He said, "Don't fret. I knew this was going to happen if Jesus died, if Jesus did not come back before I died." I like that. "Don't fret. I knew this was going to happen if Jesus don't come back and when it comes time to die." Well, he's our everything. Today, most people come to Calvary only to get saved. It's sad. As a matter of fact, a lot of folks are not coming to Calvary because Calvary's not been taught. It's a new thought in life about how people get a right relationship with God and they're bypassing Jesus Christ. You say, "But preacher, if you're a Christian, they don't bypass Christ." Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You might as well bypass Him if you put Jesus Christ equal to anybody else on this earth because He's not equal to Him. You say, well, I believe in Christ, but at the same time, I believe that you go also, you know, there's another way. Well, you just degraded Christ to a level that God never degraded Him to. And so here, most people, they come to Cairo to get saved only. Then they trot back to Egypt to have fun. They go to Calvary, get fire insurance, so to speak, from hell, but they like to trot back over to Egypt then so they can have fun. Some things in Egypt may not be bad in themselves, but at the same time, if they hindered us from serving God, they are a terrible place to be in our lives. They need to be got out of our lives. In John chapter 3, verse 17, Jesus Christ came not to condemn the world, He says. If you look in verse 17 and 18 in the Gospel of John, He was speaking, He said, 17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. That's what Jesus said. We said He was just a little off a little bit, wasn't He? No, He was right. He said, "He that believeth on Him is saved, but he that believeth not is condemned already." That means simply, as you look in verse 36, He said, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life." Why? "The wrath of God abideth on Him." I'm talking about Jesus Christ is everything. And I stand here this morning to preach to you about Jesus Christ, not to condemn. Those listening by radio in a few minutes, I'm not preaching to condemn. It's not my job. But I'll tell you, and Jesus tells us already, if you're not saved, you're already condemned. I can't do any more condemning. I'm no more than a man. But I'll tell you this, Jesus Christ can say, "Hey, if you trust me, you'll be saved. If you don't trust me, you'll be condemned." In fact, He says you're already condemned. We all were condemned before we heard about Jesus Christ. We came into this world condemned. There's no way we can get around that. If you're born physically, you're born in this world condemned. But I've got news for you. You don't have to leave this world condemned. That's the reason Jesus Christ came. He is everything to me, and so He should be to you. When we get to the place that we can say that Jesus Christ is everything to me as an individual, we can see our completeness in Him. And the completeness in Him won't make us live like the flesh wants to live. It'll make us, with God's help and power, to bring this flesh in control so we can honor the Savior who died for us. You will not have to go back to Egypt to get your pleasure when you see that you're complete in Him. Song of Solomon chapter 1 verse 13 said, "A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me." And without God's grace and His mercy, everything else is in vain. But with God's grace and His mercy, experiencing that in the new creation in Christ Jesus, then "a bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me." You see, ladies and gentlemen, the great gulf between the world and the church is large. There's no way to breach that gulf in our own self. But Jesus Christ was able to do just that. All we need is Christ. Amen. That's all. Plus nothing else, minus nothing else. We need Christ. When it comes to salvation, we're saved by grace. Plus nothing else, minus nothing else. When it comes to serving God, we serve Him because of His grace and mercy to us. And we learn what He says for us to do and ask Him for the power that's needed to do that in our fleshly bodies. Our fun and joy and our friend and life is complete in Him. Our hearts bear witness that all Jesus said is true. I believe that. Don't come telling me that He said something that's not true. But there are people who are saying that today. There's people said telling us today that Jesus is not, the record of His resurrection is not true. Heard that just 3 or 4 weeks ago on the news thing.
Yes, it is true. If I didn't believe Christ was rose from the dead, ladies and gentlemen, I wouldn't be here wasting my time on you this morning. And I don't believe you'd be here wasting your time on me. But because He is risen from the dead, because He is sitting at the right hand of the Father, because what I'm doing is necessary in the age of grace, then it's necessary for us to come together in like faith and be rejoicing in the Lord to go back into that world as an ambassador for Christ, that we may witness for the cause of Christ until the day Jesus takes us home or comes in to get us and take Him to Himself. Everything is Jesus, and Jesus is everything. Again, we are complete in Him. Let me give you five quick things, and they'll be quick, about this and found in verse 10. We are complete in Him. What is the word complete? That means simply that complete means exactly full. You can't put nothing else in there. There's nothing else that's needed. Christ gave us more than the forgiveness of sin. He gave us life. It's a wonderful thing that He can forgive us our sin because the blood paid the debt. But He gives us life. He gave us eternal, divine life that lives in us. That will live forever one of these days when we leave, even when we leave this body here, you see. Our names are written in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're saved from hell. We've been redeemed. That means we've been bought with a price. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been justified. That means declared right. We find ourselves been converted in changing us from where we were at to a new direction. We have a bundle of things, and it is everything we need in Christ because we are complete in Him. But there's people seeking other avenues. And sometimes when we hear about it, it becomes boring to us because we think, well, I want to tell you something. Hear me closely. There's not a one in here as close to God as we could be. Let me say that again. Not one in here is close to God as we could be. There's things that keeps us from getting close to God. And sometimes we know it and refuse to do anything about that at that particular time. It is so full that there is no vacancy. We are full exactly in Christ. Complete. That's what it means. It's so full there's no vacancy. We are full of Christ. We're not talking about self-reformation here. We're not talking about self-morality here. If you've got self-reformation, self-morality, you're a failure outside of Christ. Without Christ, those things do not exist for us in the way to give us life with the Lord. To make a choice for Christ is to make not a choice for Christ is to be against Him in this life. It is so that there's no vacancy. I want you to turn with me quick into Luke chapter 11 and give an example of what Jesus talked about that fits in line to this right here. Verse 24 to 21, we have time to read it all. Don't have a lot of time to finish what I want to do here. I know this, though. Here's a case where there's an unclean spirit. You know the story. Verse 21, unclean spirit that gone out of a man. He walked through dry places. We don't know why he went out. I certainly won't say. Certainly the Holy Spirit didn't drive him out this time. I believe this is a man of self-reformation. I mean, this man came and said, you know, things are not working. I'm going to try to do it myself. And he's done everything he can. He cleaned himself up. The unclean spirit had some trouble dealing with him because he had some thoughts and otherwise that didn't go together. And he tried his best to clean himself up. If there's ever been self-reformation, it's here. If there's been self-morality, it's probably here. Whatever reason was, the unclean spirit was actually uncomfortable there. And so he says, I'll leave. He walked through dry places for a period of time, seeking at rest and finding none. Unclean spirits have to have indwell in that which can respond to them physically. And so here he can't find a dwelling place. And after a period of time, we don't know how long, he simply says, you know what? I'm going to go back in if you look in verse 24, the end of that verse, I'll return unto my house. He called the body that this person was, that he was living in, his house. He said, I'll return to my house. And he goes back. The house that I came out of. And he goes back. In verse 25, he said, he comes back and finds it swept and clean. He still had the house swept and clean. He still had record of self-reformation. He was doing some things that were right, and therefore there was a little bit of holiness about him that self-man made. But here, he saw, though the house was clean and swept, no one's living in. And I'll tell you this, if no one's in the house, it's easy to move in. Amen. You find an empty house somewhere or another, nobody in it, you move in it. You may not stay in it long. Someone will make you move out, but you'll move in it. You can move in it, and it'd be easy to do that, and no one else living in it, no one else around to know. He found the house empty.
And what Jesus said here, then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits. Hey, he said, I looked in my mind. He said, you know, it's empty. He walks back. He's great and wonderful. He goes out and says, hey, fellas, I've got some good news for you. Come on, go with me. Seven other spirits that were wickeder than he was. And he invited them. And they come and they took a boat in this house. Why? There was no one living in it. And he said, the man became worse in the end than he was before. Have you seen people like that? I've seen people get on the bandwagon of religion for a year or so, and next thing you know, you can't find them, and they've gone back, and they're alcoholics and everything else. They curse and use God's name in vain. See, they had an empty house of self-reformation. So when the unclean spirit came back to dwell, he brought some friends with him. Now, if one can make a man do something, think what seven can do. And he said, this man came back, and he's worse than he was forever. I'm saying to you, if you have Christ, you're complete! You're full! The house is full. There's no way Satan can come back in when Christ is there. Christ meets him at the door. And just as much so they fell down at the feet of Christ in Mark 5, they can't come into a door when Christ is at the door either. And here, Jesus said here that this particular man was worse than he was before. You see, we should hate the place where we come from. Trying to be neutral is very dangerous. Our faith is to our soul what the gravitation pull to this earth is as far as pulling things towards the earth. Faith, law of gravity, pulls everything towards the center of the earth. Jesus is the center of our faith. And what happens, faith changes the center towards which spiritual growth pulls. Jesus is our center. So now when you have Him living in, there's a gravitational pull to Him. That means instead of being and swearing, we pray. Instead of being impure, we're pure. Instead of being drunk, we're sober. Instead of being lying and cheating, we're honest. Instead of going to the saloon, we go to church. Instead of going to hell, we're going to heaven. Everything points to Him. The spiritual gravitational pull pulls us to the center, which is Jesus Christ. And when Christ comes in, this is the center. And He causes us to move towards Him closer because everything is to us. He is everything. Colossians 2, verse 7 tells us why faith in Christ changes the center. Go back and look at that particular verse. Verse 7 in chapter 2, he said we're rooted, first of all. Rooted is an agricultural term. We're not like the tumbleweed that has no root blown about here and there and everywhere, kind of wind of doctrine. We're not like some plants that are transplanted in different soils at different times and different stages. No, we are rooted by faith in Jesus Christ. Settled, rooted in Him. Then he says, we're built, notice, and built. That's a present tense word. It's an architectural word. It's present tense. We're constantly being built. Not only am I rooted in Him, but I'm constantly being built in Him as I look at this book and see how He puts us together for the purpose of service. Spiritual progress is spiritual growth. Satan has a difficult time deceiving. Hear me. Satan has a difficult time deceiving Bible-believing, reading, studying Christians. Because the Word of God is too powerful for him. That's the reason Jesus showed us to use the Word when we face Him in life. We have to use it or we'll be defeated by Him every time. False teachers do not try to win the loss. What they do, they don't know how. So they try to get Protestant people into their organization and brainwash them to believe what they actually believe in rather than trying to win them to the Lord. They Protestant-like religious people. Even Christians not knowing Bible doctrine become easy prey to false religion because they have no counteraction. Even though Satan can't come back at Christ and live it in one, if you're not studying the Scriptures, then you can be actually influenced by this world very easily. So number one, the child of God is completely full. Number two, complete means that he has a full crew, that every job is taken. Do not need anyone else. I'm not looking at another God. I'm not looking at another Bible. Because I'm complete in Christ. I have what I know for a fact. If I did not have it, I'd quit serving Him. Even after 51 years or 50 years, I'd quit serving Him this September if I didn't know I had the one that was right. Why waste time if it's not right? It's not unusual for someone to ask today, is so-and-so wrong? If I do this, is this wrong? Probably if you got a question, it's wrong to you. Would it not be a joy and a blessing, ladies and gentlemen, that if we were so taken up with Christ today that we would not have to wonder about anything being wrong? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could be close to Him in that way? Let me give you an example. You who've been married, or you who are married, let's put it that way, you who may be thinking of getting married. Suppose when you got married, ladies, suppose when you got married, your husband said to you on your honeymoon night, when you got to your destiny, do you think it's wrong to go bowling? And she said, no, I don't think it's wrong to go bowling. He said, well, what about us going bowling? She said, I don't want to go bowling. Well, do you think it's wrong to go bowling? Well, no, but I don't want to go bowling. And he said, well, I do. Well, I don't want to go. Well, I can go by myself. Now, the question is this. It's not a sin to go bowling. But any average man will know you don't go bowling on your honeymoon night. Right? As a matter of fact, wife be ready to walk out on you if you decided that particular night. What I'm saying to you, that just makes good sense. Well, I'll go by myself then. And she said, well, go on. I'll be here when you get back. No, I don't think she would be. Amen? You say, preacher, that makes good sense. I understand that. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to me closely. When you think about this, on the average of person, when you are full of pride and you're thinking right, not thinking right, to want to go bowling on a wedding night, you know that would be something wrong. Well, nor does it seem to be right for a child of God to want to go bowling on a church night. The principle's there. I guarantee you, to know God in Christ is more precious, though thank God for a husband and wife that's precious to each other, than the husband and wife. And we're talking about relationships here. When God's Word is taught, and know it's been taught, and knowing without a doubt that you're going to get fed something where you want it or not, hopefully God will help us grow in grace and knowledge, we'd understand that it's good to be in the house of God when the doors are open. Suppose on the honeymoon night, fellas, when you got to where you were going, and the wife said, you know, I have about a 2-hour television broadcast I'd love to look at tonight. I'm sure you won't mind of that, would you? He said, what? I want to look at this television broadcast. Now, there may not be nothing wrong with the television broadcast, but I'll tell you this. This is your honeymoon night. The focus should be on the husband and wife, not the television or the bowling alley. I've lost you. I'm trying to lay a comparison. Jesus is everything to you, or should be, if you're saved. He is. He's everything to me. Christ loved me and died for me. He wants for us to find Him in Him, our joy, our happiness. He wants us to understand some things may not be wrong in themselves, but only are they in Jesus Christ. When there comes a time, there's some things may not be wrong in themselves, but the choice that or Christ. Christ should be first. He's everything to us. How do you handle some things when people act to you rude sometimes? And I asked the Lord recently. I said, I'm asking God to help me not be happy or be sad due to the reaction of people. I'm asking God that I am complete in Christ. I should be happy all the time. Because He did for me what nobody else could do. And therefore I should have Him focus in my mind. Whatever it is that I do, that it be for Him. May God help us to get so wrapped up in Jesus Christ that our lives will be full of Him. He's my fun. He's my joy. He says, I'll give you my joy. His joy was hanging on the cross while people walked by and whacked their tongues and said, come down. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. That's joy. That's joy the world knows nothing about in this life. And I'm telling you, when I think about Jesus Christ and what He's done for me, He's everything to me. Preacher, you just don't have no fun. Walk with me one day. I guarantee you it won't be fun like the world has, but you'll come out feeling much better. I had fun last night. Just studying. I had fun last night just listening to some tapes and stuff. Had fun. I don't have a hangover this morning. My head's not hurting. I got other places hurting, but not my head. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying I have fun. And my fun don't interfere with the things that God would have me do. My fun don't take me away from the house of God either. My fun don't keep me from doing what I know that God would have me do. Walk with me. I have more fun than those who go back to the night spots in Egypt every week. I mean, hey, you cross one Red Sea on dry ground and Egypt fades away. Complete, full of Him. Complete means complete furnished. Philippians 4:13, my Bible verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Like a house furnished. You know, when you have everything you need furnished. Now, when you get married, you didn't have a whole lot. You could use other things. You've been married 30 years, you're not going to where to put anything, I'll tell you that. Because it accumulates over a period of time. Do you know why this world doesn't understand the Christian? If they're wrapped up in Christ. We're wrapped up in Christ. Because we believe and practice the book, we're wrapped up in Christ. There's nothing wrong in getting wrapped up in Christ. And then I find complete means perfect fit. Jesus needs no alteration. I need a lot. So I've got in me, and so have you if you're saved. He gave us a robe of righteousness. He has given us everything. You can say right now, now I have everything when you have Him, because He said you're complete in Him. And the completeness, the fullness, Jesus Christ dwell in Him, the fullness of all the Godhead. And then I find, I feel sorry for some people. In church, their minds are always wavering off. They can't hardly wait to get out of the church when they're there so they commit their duty to the Lord. A brother said the other night, a few weeks ago, preacher, Wednesday night studying this thing of the commandments. Said, preacher, why did you stop? I'm so involved with this thing. All of a sudden I looked and, you know, you preached 35, 40 minutes. And just went by. Why did you stop? Now, I when I got home, I thought about that. I said, that brother understood the message. He understood what I was trying to say. He understood what God was getting across. Because when God blesses you with the Word of God, you can't do nothing but be happy. You can't do nothing but be happy. When you're blessed with it, and I said, Lord, let that be the place when you come to the table, be set here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, when we get up to stand to preach the Word of God. Help us set the table. Or you set the table through us somehow or another. And I thank the Lord for those comments like that from time to time. Do all things through Christ that strengthen me. Such people find happiness and peace and satisfaction in Christ. A person who comes to Christ for salvation, then takes off to Egypt, lives miserably in life. Egypt is the place where the Egyptians want to go back to. Egypt satisfies, hear me, Egypt satisfies only the flesh. It never satisfies the spirit. It takes something more than Egypt to do just that. Then the last one, complete, means full course meal. He satisfies my hungry. The upper room with Christ is where John wanted to be. What a joy to walk with Him as He encourages us to do, as we see down in verse 6, we who have received Christ as His personal Savior. In verse 9, again, notice, He said, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. What does the word fullness mean? In Greek, it's pleroma. It means the sum total of all that God is. Wow. Sum total. You describe Him. Give Him the just demand, justice that He needs in describing Him. The full total of all that God is. And when I see that, I see again a growth that's there. I see something that's a blessing to my heart and mind. The sum total of all that God is. He says, for in Him, that is in Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus Christ. Go back and read it. Didn't talk about anybody else. In Jesus Christ, in Him is the fullness of the Godhead. It is simply the total sum of all that God is. Isn't it interesting? When I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you receive the total sum of all that God is in the flesh. You receive Christ. Isn't it an amazing thing? I have all of Him, but I don't guess in this body of flesh He ever has all of me. Because flesh hinders me, and flesh hinders you. But I have all of Him. I don't need anyone else to come to try to help me in salvation. I need help in growth, in knowledge, in grace and knowledge. Spiritual growth is from inside out. It's like a little baby at conception. Though at that moment, a little baby, boy or girl, is everything that she or he will ever be in the DNA. When conception takes place, at that particular moment, everything that they ever be is there at that moment.
But it'll take a while before you see it. And same as being saved. Everything we need is in Christ. When we receive Him, we get a fullness of God in the flesh, and we're complete in Him. But it'll take a while before you and I can see it in each other. Because you didn't see the transaction. Oh, you heard the word. Yeah, I got saved. Yeah, we hear the words. We saw you walk the aisle. We saw you baptized. But we won't see the results of that until we see you grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. That's when we can say, you know, you got it. She got it. They're growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And as they grow, they're used of God in His kingdom for that particular purpose. Jesus never refused to help anyone who asked Him. In fact, He tells in James, let us ask for wisdom. Ask liberally for it. He turned their houses of sorrow into joy. He also turned their tears into laughter. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved, you got more than just salvation. You got more than just a fire certificate from keep from going to hell. If you're saved, you got the capacity to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And if you stay in this book, God will lead you if you really want to know the truth. Now, if you just want to look at a certain area and stay there, you won't know much. But if you want to know from what God's plan and purpose is for your life in light of His Word, then God will lead you if you stay in this book. We are complete in Him. I'm exactly full. I am literally full crew. Have no room for anything else. If I do, then it's beyond that which God would have me be. That is because everything in my life should be for Him. Don't mean I can't have some fun sometime and work towards different goals, but I'm saying when Christ is there, they ought to be first and foremost. Which is more important, Him or Egypt? Him or this life? We're completely furnished. We have been perfectly fitted in Christ. We have four-course meals from this book every time it's preached that God wants to feed us by His Spirit. Jesus is everything to me because He's the sum total of all that God is. All that God is. The sum total of all that God is Jesus Christ. And I have Him. And I can say without a doubt, by having Him, now I have everything. Sister, if you come. Now I have everything. And I want to close this service with this song. I don't do this much, but I want to do it today. If you're not saved, you've got self-reformation. You got self-morality. You got self-everything trying to appease a God somewhere or another. And I've got news for you. We've seen already, those who come on Wednesday night, there is no way possible you and I have anything in us that's good enough to please our God. But Jesus did it all for us. I mean, He's everything to me. Everything. I had nothing but heartaches and troubles. I was seeking for fortune and fame. I had nothing but doubts and confusion. But now I have everything I need to make me happy. Why? I have Jesus to show me the way. Why? He has saved me and He gave to me life eternal. And now I have told you last week, said preacher, if you had done your talents in things other than religion, you could have been rich. I told you I am rich. Here's the reason why. Listen, this is the song, but Ken, the music this morning, they didn't know what I was going to preach about. Everything was about Jesus Christ. I know I'm where I want to be. I know the message is what I want to be this morning. Somebody needs to let the coldness of your heart break and let the sweetness of the Spirit of God come in and do for you what He wants you to do and what He wants to do. I was making
big plans for my future. I was living my lifetime in vain. Then I prayed for life's only meaning. Thank God. And now I have everything. Everything that I need to make me happy. I have Jesus to show me the way. He has saved me, and He gave me life eternal. Praise His holy name. And now I have everything. Now, Father, I love You this morning. And I thank You that I know that I'm complete in You. I thank You that I believe that when God said that the fullness of the Godhead was in Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm grateful to understand that if I walk and I'm rooted and I'm built up and established in the faith, that I can understand what it means to not be led by the rudiments of the world and take heed. I know we hadn't arrived at You yet, and there's a lot of failures in all of us. But dear Father, let us see there's more to Jesus than just being saved. There's a life that God imputes to us. God gives us. There's righteousness that God imputes to us. And there's sin that You impute to Your Son that we might go free. That's the reason why that in my failures, Lord, I need to learn that You won't first properly if I failed. And when I am putting You first, Lord, then the accomplishments that's accomplished will be for the glory of God. Dear Father, help someone to see Jesus this morning. I tried to put Him high as I could in the flesh. You're going to have to lift Him higher that others could see Him. Oh, my God, help us exalt Him in a way that people could see Him when He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when we come to know You, Lord, I'm glad that I'm exempt from hell. But I didn't just trust You. I see now to be exempt from hell. I trust You to serve You. In Jesus' name we pray.